Nick Vaughn and Jake Margolin, Houston-based interdisciplinary visual artists, are creating 50 installations portraying provocative and often unknown LGBTQ histories from all 50 United States, linked to contemporary experiences. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the artists have completed 4 states and now are unearthing an obscure history of an early 20th century biracial gay couple who lived together in an ornate rail car in the Arkansas Ozarks.
Apparently, Wellington Stevenson, president of the Missouri and North Arkansas Railroad in Harrison in the early 20th century, had a live-in African-American servant, Jesse, who was likely his boyfriend, says Jake Margolin. We don't know Jesse's last name.
So we first came across what's become the kernel of our 50 States Arkansas piece reading Brock Thompson's wonderful book, The Unnatural State, which is a history, the queer history of Arkansas. And in it, he talks about this person, Wellington Stevenson, who ran a railroad, the Missouri and North Arkansas Railroad, from 1926 to 1933. And he lived in Harrison in a converted rail car with his African-American servant, whose name was Jesse. And both Brock Thompson and an earlier historian suggest that they were a homosexual couple. And that's what first introduced us to getting into their particular history.
Margolin and his husband, Nick Vaughn, have been traveling the Arkansas Ozarks, talking with sources who can provide leads as well as researching the historical record, a painstaking process required for all 50 state installations.
So this is the first time in our process that we've come across a narrative where we're not sure that we're actually going to find hard documentation of their relationship. We have kept on hoping that if we spend enough time in archives or if we talk to the right person, we're going to find that letter that they wrote to one another, or we're going to find the newspaper article in which somebody makes a direct suggestion, and we haven't found that. And we've begun to realize that this actually is a very rich area to be working in these vagaries around these stories of how hard it is to know these histories, that so many queer histories were intentionally obfuscated, both by the people who were living the experience or by the people who came after who could have passed on their letters or whatever. And so in this case, we're looking and we say, we think this is true. We think this is the history, but we don't know for sure. And I don't think we ever will know for sure, but we want to look as deep as we can.
Margolin says in the process, they're discovering remarkable historic LGBTQI2 cultures, the last two initials representing intersex and two-spirit or indigenous queer cultures.
Often we don't consider those historical roots in the queer community because they've been actively erased by so many people over so long. And we, you know, I grew up and my husband Nick grew up really feeling like we didn't have an image bank or a knowledge bank for who our forefathers were and our foremothers in the queer world. We just weren't taught that it existed. And as we've gotten into this project and realized not only has it existed, it has intersected with every aspect of American identity and history, both the wonderful things, but also some of the darkest chapters of our history, and that we belong, that we're part of the creation of what it is to be an American.
Margolin says his favorite installation of the 4 completed so far is the Colorado piece,
which focuses on a person that we would now recognize as a transgender man named Charles Frenchie Vosbaugh, who lived in Trinidad, Colorado in the 1880s. And at the end of his life, at the very beginning of the 20th century, he wound up in the local Catholic hospital where the Sisters of Charity, who ran the hospital, discovered that he had been born Catherine in France 70 years earlier and had been living as a man for the last 50 or 60 years. And after they tried to force him to wear dresses and live in the women's ward, which he didn't have any interest in doing, they let him live out the last 2 years of his life as a male orderly at the hospital where he was named Grandpa. And 70 years later, the same hospital wound up housing one of the country's pioneering gender reassignment clinics. And Trinidad, Colorado became known as the sex change capital of the world. And so over a couple of years of researching Charles's story, Nick and I, in small archives at the Los Angeles County courtrooms, talking to people in more established archives in libraries in Denver, in Trinidad, were able to flesh out so much of this absolutely extraordinary life. And when we decided, how can we honor this experience, this unsung pioneer, we realized that Nick and I aren't the right voices to be doing that honoring. We're cisgendered men. We're not particularly connected to that exact history. So we commissioned six different trans or gender nonconforming writers and activists around the country to write eulogies, toasts to Charles Frenchy Vosbaugh. And we had them deliver these toasts at potlucks that they hosted in each of their cities for their friends and their community. And we connected all of these by video conference to Trinidad, Colorado, for a one-night virtual celebration of Charles Frenchy Vosbaugh. And then that gets installed as a six-channel video installation that you can sit inside and listen to the entire proceedings of the evening and see the video feeds as these brilliant writers and activists honor a history that was new to them but connected deeply to their experiences and to all of our experiences in the queer community.
For the Arkansas piece, Vaughn and Margolin will likely construct scale architectural assemblages.
Yes. So we're at the wonderful stage where we have completed most of our research, and now we start figuring out, how do we make an installation around this? How do we tell this story to people in the most effective and emotional way? And we always wait until we know what the story is, until we figure out what media we're going to use and decide, should it be a documentary film, or should it be a sculpture, or should it be a participatory installation the way that our Colorado piece was? For Arkansas, what we've become particularly moved by is that Wellington Stevenson and Jesse lived in an absolutely lavish rail car that they had converted. It was the emblem of the railroad was painted in 24-karat gold on it. It was oak. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it had originated, it was built in the 1880s or the early 1890s for a railroad company in Colorado called the Colorado Midland. And there are wonderful photographs of what it looked like in its absolute heyday and glory. So we're thinking we might try to recreate that car in some way. The other thing that's been really moving to us is finding these two pylons from the Missouri and North Arkansas Railway, which were the support structure for a bridge going over a large river. And they're still standing. The bridge is long gone. But these stone pylons are still standing, and they feel like this emotional and beautiful sort of metaphorical tribute to these two men who we have so many questions around and know so little concrete fact about. So maybe we'll be recreating those pylons as well as part of this installation.
The next 50 States Project exhibit on Oklahoma will premiere at the Invisible Dog Center in Brooklyn, New York, and then appear at the Museum of Art at Oklahoma State University, opening February 14th next year.
Our Oklahoma piece, which dealt with the gay Cherokee playwright Lynn Riggs, who most famously wrote the play that the musical Oklahoma was based on. In making the piece that we made about him, we partnered with some drag queens and a trans activist in Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
An exhibition of the Arkansas State Project piece will follow, to be announced at an art venue, likely in Northwest Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can sample several 50 States Project's images at our link at ozarksatlarge.com.